T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So what did I learn on social media in the last 24 to 36 hours, Childress?
Probably a lot.
There's
always something going on.
Do not mouth off to Pac-Man Jones when walking through an airport.
Oh, exactly.
Did you see what happened? And I mean, that thing's caught on video. This guy, that I guess he worked at the airport, started mouthing off at Pac-Man as he's walking through. This was last night. It ended up in an altercation, and to Pac-Man Jones' credit, he laid the dude out. He actually ended up with some facial lacerations, but he lays the guy out, and the dude gets taken to jail as well.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Pac-Man Jones, he's all wrong place, wrong time. How many times in his career? And, again, this might not have been completely his fault yesterday, but draws trouble like a magnet.
Some people have all the luck, do they not?
Yeah, so, exactly.
So anyway, Dan Mullen. We get the fact he leaves the SEC West. He leaves Mississippi State, which he'd done a very good job there. You know, that's a university that has to kind of line up and take their shot every couple. To me, Mississippi State football and Clemson basketball, somewhat a representative of each other. You got to line up and take your shot. You're not typically going to take your shot every year.
That's very fair.
Okay.
I think that's a good comparison for now. I think Clemson basketball is on the rise, but yes.
Too. All right. But historically,
right.
You know, it's
yes.
A good 2-year run, and then you back off, get some recruits. And so what in the world is Dan Mullen trying to sell us? He's been in the SEC East for, what, about 5 seconds right now since leaving Mississippi State
right.
for Gainesville? Pump the brakes, Danny boy. Do you realize that he gets out there and on radio, no less, which remember, yeah, they're making comments on radio. Somebody's recording it. It's never going away for posterity. Saying that he thinks the balance of power in the Southeastern Conference when it comes to the football is now flipping from the West to the East. What is he smoking in Gainesville, Florida right now? Because let me tell you, one thing that the SEC West doesn't have is Vanderbilt. Kentucky, Tennessee went 0-8. They're rebuilding right now. How in the world? Now, granted, it's been Alabama's. Auburn represented the SEC West last year. LSU, not a huge Orgeron fan, but they're not bad. What in the world is he thinking? I realize you got to pump your fan base up, but I just can't buy into how the East now is the class of the SEC, because the best coaching hire this offseason was Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M.
So when you think 2 seasons down the road, we're going into the 2020 season, you think Florida's back? You think Tennessee's back under the two coaches that they just got? Is the balance of power shifting over to the East, where those teams are going to be back on the rise, where you've got some coaches on the West that don't appear like they're going to be long-term successes like Orgeron and a lot of new hires over in the West as well? So
I don't want to upset.
I'm not playing devil's advocate, but 2 years from now, is the East top to bottom stronger than the West?
Because you got Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri in there. One, if not two, of those teams are not going to be bowl eligible every year.
What about Ole Miss and Mississippi State 2 years from now? Do you think they're bowl eligible?
But guess what? You know, at least they cheat every once in a while to make a good run. You know, we take our cheating on the Western side a little bit more serious.
There we go. I forgot about that. I didn't weigh that in.
Hold on. Think about it. Tennessee's coming off an 0-8 regular season.
I'm not talking about right now, Sturge. No. I'm saying I think Pruitt and I think that Mullen are going to bring those two programs back to relevance again, where they're winning 9, 10, 11 games a year.
All
so
right.
I think 2 seasons from, if the balance of power is shifting through good coaching, and I think they've got 2 good coaches there, those teams are going to be rising up. Who's rising up in the West? Maybe Texas A&M. does Auburn continue to stay where they're at?
They're very bipolar. It's all or nothing. I mean, you know,
they're 7-4 or 11-0. Right. It seems like, or 8-4 or 12-0.
All right. So
I'm just being devil's advocate.
No.
So over the course of the next two seasons, I could see the East becoming much more relevant and the West kind of staying flat.
All right, but here's the deal: if Tennessee all of a sudden goes under a run under an unproven head coach, Jeremy Pruitt has. You know, it's 50-50. I know this much from talking to my buddies up in Knoxville. They're already stronger mentally than they ever were in the 5 years of the Butch Jones era.
Yeah.
All right. So now whether that translates to a win or two in the Southeastern Conference this year, no. But for those teams to go up that you mentioned, somebody's going to have to go down. Is it South Carolina? Because
I don't know.
South Carolina's primed with – everything going – listen, not everything's going to go a football team's way in 1 year. I can sit here and make the case for 10 wins for South Carolina right now. The only two that I look at and go, Clemson and Death Valley in that second week against Georgia. But guess what? I like getting them in that second week Georgia in that second week. What Georgia may be in week number 10, they're probably not going to be in week number 2.
I think that South Carolina could continue. I mean, they're bringing in fantastic recruiting classes. If the new quarterback coming in turns out to be for real after Bentley leaves, I think South Carolina could be a lasting team in the SEC at the expense of the SEC West. I mean, I take Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Missouri, and I kind of look over on the other side and take Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. That's kind of a push. I don't think either one of those are great. So then if you're looking at the top four, I'm talking two seasons from now.
Yep.
If you're looking at the top four, is the West more powerful than the East?
But every year, either Ole Miss or Mississippi State's good. They're such a small state in the Magnolia State that I don't think they can both be good. Yeah, it used to be the argument that we made about the Palmetto State here. Clemson, and there's not enough high school recruits here in this state to really supplement Clemson and South Carolina.
Right.
Now, Clemson had, what, one recruit last year out of the Palmetto State. So, you know, they're in a little different spot. I mean, we've seen Mississippi State go to an Orange Bowl. We've seen Dak Prescott. You know, so my point being, one of those two teams is good every single year.
Yep.
LSU, I think, you know, they had Nick Saban. Right now, I think LSU's kind of playing the waiting game. If we get 9 or 10 wins out of Coach Orgeron, great. But guess what? Who's going to match up X's and O's with Saban? They know Saban from the inside. So that's why I think that was it. Well, if we didn't get Jimbo, well, hell, we only got to pay this guy 2.5 years, and we're going to wait it out because they've been there. They've seen that. Arkansas's the – I don't know if they're ever really going to do anything unless Bobby Petrino's out there just cheating like hell, because the reason they got – well, first of all, Brett Bielema, a hell of a buyout last year.
Yes.
Number two, they got Chad Morris on the cheap. $2.2 million or whatever. But listen, with SEC coaching salaries, that's on the cheap with Chad Morris. But they now know. They know their identity. If we can't get recruits out of Texas, Arkansas football will never do that much.
I think that Chad Morris could get Arkansas competitive again, but he's changing the whole way that they've been building their program for the last few years, which is line it up and smash it down your throat. That is not what Chad Morris wants to do. He wants to sling it and run a fast tempo, so it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, I get it. And I, by the way, not a big fan of the Mullen comments. I don't think you're adding anything.
He is.
So the Florida fans love it, and the other SEC team, even Georgia fans are like, yeah, you tell them, Dan Mullen.
But 1 year, last year with Georgia, doesn't offset the 8 previous seasons that the SEC was won by an SEC West team. It's talking season. Same thing for us as radio show hosts. And there's one every once in a while you go, crap, I wish that one had just not come off the top of my head.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one of the topics I know you mentioned at the beginning of the show, questions that you'd like to ask at SEC Media Day. So I'm fascinated to hear some of your thoughts on, are you going to be that guy at ACC Media Days? It's got the curveball questions. I don't want to say gotcha questions, or have you got some creative stuff that you got in the holster here that you're going to take to some of these guys?
I don't want to, unless they're new coaches, most of them know me now.
Yep.
I hate to say it that way. Dino Babers is literally become a friend. And Pat Narduzzi, I think, is one of the most impressive guys out there. And you'll see we'll get more of the Coastal than we probably will the Atlantic Division. Because I watched it happen one time in a radio room, and it was the most uncomfortable situation that I've ever been through. We knew it was coming. The question was coming for 2 days. It was up at Pinehurst. And what particular coach about 5-6 years ago got fired the day after ACC football kicked off?
I don't remember.
It was Butch Davis at North Carolina.
Oh, that's right.
Because they tried to float him through there as North Carolina's head coach and realized after 2 days of meeting with the media, there's no way in hell we can pull this. And they just went ahead and pulled the trigger on him. If you remember, the day after ACC football kickoff. Well, this might have helped trigger it. We knew one of the guys in our room was sitting on it for 2 days. It's like some of the best conversations we have are actually during the break.
Right.
And nobody, like you said, we ought to be Facebooking this more, Live it more. So we've got 10 minutes in between coaches sitting in. So you're with in the room with these guys for a couple of days. You talk.
Right.
And it was somebody going, all right, get y'all's question out with Butch Davis at North Carolina because I've got the final one. And it was, Coach, how can deniability be an excuse for what's going on in the North Carolina program? Because at the time, he denied knowing anything. You know, he was trying to lay everything on John Blake, the offensive coordinator that ended up passing away.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, if you could have watched 13 adults crawl under a table at the same time, we knew it was coming for 2 days. And it's a legitimate question because he did.
It is.
He denied knowing anything. But the point being, if you could have seen the eagle laser eyes that came out of Butch Davis and his head spin around on his head like the exorcism, it's the most uncomfortable I've ever been, so I would not do that to somebody else.
I didn't think that you would, and you're not a gotcha question guy, and I'm definitely not either. I was just curious. You said you had some in the holster on what you'd be asking about.
What are your thoughts? When do the quarterback battles end? Because that's one that is actually going to be a topic here at ACC football kickoff. And, again, we may see a little different maneuvering due to the transfer rules. You can actually get a kid in for 4 games. So, you know, if it's that week before the South Carolina game and you're a little banged up and you want to see some guy, play him.
Right.
Play him. You couldn't pull the red shirt in the past. So it's going to be some fascinating deals with Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, three teams, three of the five favorites. Do they or do they not have quarterback battles? And if they do, how long is it going to go? Because I get the fact, there may be some packages for Jalen Hurts and Tua at the same time. You've been around sports long enough. Teams want to be led. They want to put their faith in one person, and it gets very bipolar for them. Spurrier outthought himself when he kept switching quarterbacks in and out every play with that was Doug Johnson and somebody else, I believe. And you can't get any rhythm that way.
And Auburn did it against Clemson a couple of years ago, man. Literally every series was a different quarterback in. Has anybody been successful with that? And I guess Urban Meyer with Tebow, was it Tebow and Leak the year he won the national title? He'd have a package for Tebow where he'd bring him in. Yeah, but besides that, I haven't really seen a whole lot of success with that over the years where you've had two guys legitimately getting playing time.
Well, what am I going to do wrong where I'm going to get pulled? Guess what? You better have some confidence when you're playing quarterback.
Right.
It's based on decisions. It's based on, like we were talking last night about Gino Toretta. I talked to him at the George Rogers tournament about that Alabama-Miami game in 92, and he goes, dude, they had 11 guys lined up across the line of scrimmage. I knew two were blitzing. We just didn't know which hell two were coming. I'd never seen. And I went back and looked at it, and he was absolutely right. 11 defensive players within a yard and a half of the line of scrimmage. He just did not have a clue. So that's why, at that point, you can't be looking over your shoulder if you make a mistake. I think those are really interesting. Those are legit questions that these coaches are going to have to deal with. And I think we already saw as part of Dabo Swinney's answer coming out of the spring game back in April.
Definitely so. And I know we got to get to break here. I've got a kind of twist, I guess, on the red shirt that could impact the quarterback competition at Alabama and Clemson. Talked about this on the show when you were not on Monday, but I'd love to get your take on it when we get back after the break.
Also, another staff turnover or turnover in the SEC like you have never seen before. What's the one thing that we had talked about the ACC had done well the last 8 years? Going out and hiring head coaches. Listen, it's a huge year for the Southeastern Conference. 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live here at Bada Bing Pizza on Woodruff Road. Come out and spin the prize wheel. Those guys are hot out there. No, they're not. They're sitting over here finishing off some pizza and some yeast rolls. Welcome back in. Is hey, it's College Football Media Days a week early. This is your last day before you go on vacation. Yep. Now, you are coming up to Charlotte for one night and getting to see the whole thing, if you will,
yes.
The ACC football kickoff next week. We will be up there live on the air Wednesday, do some recording Thursday morning. You will head back on vacation. I will be back here in Greenville at 4 p.m. as we are broadcasting from Carolina Golf and Tennis at Botany Woods for their British Open party.
Nice.
Because, you know, Diesel, the Open Championship, it begins next Thursday somewhere on the island over
there. The what?
The Open Championship.
Oh, my gosh. It's getting worse. You've done this three or four times now. It's going downhill. No, it's not going uphill. I thought this would be getting better.
Jealous. That's what it
that's
comes
what,
down
I'm not
to.
Even trying it because I know Diesel's recording everything.
Yeah.
So I'll let you I'll let you do that.
So questions that I would – and I don't mean when I say, hey, I'm going to go stick this in front of the coaches and make them – these are questions that I ask.
Yes.
Because, you know, most of the recording that we'll be doing Thursday morning will be other guys in the media like Tom Luganbill. I've got Wright Waters already booked for next Thursday morning. So it's going to be a lot of media, guys. But, listen, this is a huge year for the Southeastern Conference when it comes to football. And here is why. Jimbo Fisher, Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt, Joe Moorhead, Chad Morris, and if you want to throw a six in the mix, Matt Luke. What are all six of those? What do they have in common?
Yeah, they're brand new coaches in the SEC.
Now, Matt Luke did get one job as interim, did get a year in as interim, and that's why they hired him. And then, you know, to be honest with you, I thought that was the move they had to make after that win. It turned out they couldn't get anybody to get real serious about taking the job because nobody could get an answer from the NCAA what's going to be coming down the pike with them. But, yeah, six first-year head coaches, if you will. If you throw Matt Luke in there as a first-year head coach and not an interim, that's half the league adjusting to a new staff and a new head coach this year. That's why I say this is a big year. Do any of those six outside Jimbo Fisher overwhelm you as, wow, what a great move? And I still say there's issues.
I like Mullen and Pruitt. I mean, I like.
You can win at Mississippi State. You ought to be able to win at Florida.
You can. And I think both of those schools are loaded with money. They have fantastic facilities. They have a history of success. Rabid fan bases, so and there's nowhere to go but up, especially for Tennessee, right? I mean, you went 0-8 in the conference last year.
Yeah,
I mean, you come in and win two conference games this year, and you're a hero. So I like both of those hires over on the east side, and to be determined on the west. I mean, I like Chad Morris to Arkansas. It makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense.
I'm a big fan of his. He was doing great work at SMU. I like the offense that he runs. And you've got to do something different.
You're going to have to give him some time to go get a couple of those playmakers out of the Lone Star State. The one that goes, wow, that was outside the box, is what Mississippi State did in replacing Dan Mullen with Joe Moorhead, the defensive coordinator from Penn State, because by all accounts of people I know, they love this guy. He's tough. He's disciplined. So I think we have to take a little wait and see when it comes to that. But I think there's a lot of upside. When that hire came down, I went, whoa. I wasn't expecting that one because I didn't even really hear his name. Boy, they moved quickly. It's like they had an idea that this was Dan Mullen's last year and that athletic director obviously had some names in his front pocket and had already made a couple of phone calls so he didn't get caught with his pants down right there.
So we'll be closing in on a preseason poll here in about a month going into the season, which usually has, what, 9, sometimes 10 SEC teams will be ranked in that preseason poll. You've got Alabama this year. I'll take Georgia and Auburn out of the mix as what I would consider a great team and two teams that could be great.
Wait a second. Is this getting back into that schedule you sent me on Twitter yesterday?
I'm not going schedule direction yet. Great team and two. Who passed that in the SEC should be ranked in the preseason top 25 in your mind? Outside of those three teams, because there will be eight of those teams.
I think LSU,
because there are every year.
LSU has got some players, and they may have finally lucked into a situation at quarterback just by being in the right place at the right time if Burroughs actually works out. Listen, they've got some players on defense that make NFL draft gurus just absolutely drool. So Saturday night in Baton Rouge, I think I can make the case this year if they get quarterback play. Because, my God, they got was it Alex Appleby or whatever? A Purdue castoff, you know what I mean, as their quarterback. So I think they're better by default. Okay.
That's fair. Who else? It's hard. Can you rank South Carolina preseason? Can you rank Texas A&M?
I put them back in there. And I tell you, South Carolina, you know, we keep saying South Carolina, watch out, Georgia. That might be a team, you know, especially with that week two matchup. There's one team I think in the East that I don't really think anybody's thinking about right now, and that's Drew Locke and the Missouri Tigers, because they were getting ready to run Barry Odom out of Columbia, Missouri after, what, a 1-5 or 1-4 start, and they ended up 7-5 in the regular season. And as Drew Locke came on at quarterback, boy, they started scoring some points. And I tell you what, there's going to be some teams to beat Missouri. You're going to have to outscore them this year, and guess what? You guys love those SEC offensive matchups at 6-6 head to overtime, right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, Missouri's the outlier, right? You're going to have to probably score 40 to get those guys.
Yeah.
They were putting up ridiculous numbers the second half of the season last year.
So I think Missouri there. But, no, I'm not going to sit here and tell you. That's why I've made the case. And, you know, Diesel can go, oh, here comes the Bama snobbery back out in it. But if nothing else, y'all figured out we had some fun back in college today. Is that fair?
Yes.
I think a lot of schools have said, screw it. We're going to do as little as possible here while we're waiting this run out from Nick Saban. None of them outside of Texas A&M have really gone out there and identified a big sitting head coach and gone after him. I mean, LSU tried to do it with Jimbo Fisher the year before, couldn't get him because he wasn't ready to leave Florida State due to some things in his personal life that were going on,
right,
if you will. And there was Texas A&M. Let me tell you, 10 years, $75 million. That talks at this level as well.
It does. I told you a couple times, I disagree with you a little bit on that. I mean, I think that the SEC, especially in the preseason polls, gets a pass based on history. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these teams get some overinflated.
It just means more.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these teams get overinflated rankings, and that helps them over the course of the season. I had Lawton Swan on Monday when you were out. And he brought up a really good point. He's like, one of the best things going for Clemson and Alabama this year is they're going to be right at the top of the rankings at the beginning of the season, so you can afford a misstep, maybe even two missteps, and still be right there in the mix at the end. Mm-hmm. A lot of those mid-level SEC teams that I don't think are great, the ones you and I have been talking about, past those top three teams, aren't great teams. They're going to be ranked at 10 and 12. Tennessee was preseason number 10 last year. They were a terrible football team. That's where it's going to help the SEC.
Think about this for a moment.
That's going to help them.
Tennessee football, 0-8 in the Southeastern Conference last year. I mean, my God.
I had totally forgotten that until Vol Nation called in the other day.
Having lived in Knoxville for over a decade, I thought I'd see hell freeze over before I saw Tennessee football go 0-8 in the Southeastern Conference. Because, I mean, deep down, I admit that I don't pull for anybody else, but there might be a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for Tennessee, just simply in the fact, back in the day, I made a bunch of money off football weekends having six or seven bands play in Knoxville over the course of the weekend. And if they weren't good, it wouldn't have been that big of a party. I wouldn't have made the money. So that's why I literally kind of, you know, listen, you either want, is a fan, either be great or bad. Because you can try to fix bad, but if you're mediocre, boy, you're talking about nobody cares at that point.
Yep, I agree. And I think there's going to be a lot of mediocre in the SEC this year, and that's going to be the interesting thing for me to watch. I mean, you're going to have Alabama at the top. I think Georgia and Auburn are both really good teams that have the ability to win 10, 11, maybe even 12 games and be right in the mix at the end. But past that, I think you've got a lot of average, above-average football teams.
All right.
And it'll be interesting to watch.
So Chad Morris doesn't listen. He's got to rebuild at Arkansas. Is that fair?
That's very fair.
All right,
he needs a quarterback.
Yep. Jeremy Pruitt, like we said, Tennessee 0-8 last year. You got to fix everything. They're tougher by default right now than at any point they have been in the last 5 years. So whether Vol Nation or anybody, sorry, not big expectations for Tennessee. Get 6-6 and get those extra 15 practices right now. Take that all day and twice on Sunday, in my personal opinion. So, Matt Luke, again, you're battling what's going on with the NCAA with that Ole Miss job. So, when we come back, which of these three coaches is under the most pressure to put 9 wins out next year in their first year in the SEC? Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, because you've got one of the best quarterbacks coming back and a decently stocked football team there as well. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, 10-year, $75 million. Or Dan Mullen at Florida. Think about that one during the break. We'll take your phone calls at 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, winner, winner. What'd you do, go out there and spike the prize, Will?
No, well, my daughter McCain is here.
By the way, your wife and child are so much better looking than you, it's not even funny.
There's no argument that you're getting from me here. There's not a prize wheel. You could either play Guess Your Age or Rock, Paper, Scissors. So McCain played Rock, Paper, Scissors and got smoked, but they gave her something anyway because they're nice.
I was always the stick of dynamite because there's nothing else
there's
I could
no
blow
stick
stuff
of dynamite
out of.
Yeah, and rock, paper, scissors.
You could use the scissors to cut off the dynamite.
No. It's rock, paper, and scissors. Okay. That's the point of the game.
All right.
So I was disappointed that she did not perform well, but they gave her something.
Okay.
So it was good.
All right. Well, all right. See, this is the problem with America today.
You know, there we go.
Rewarding these.
Come on. She got a t-shirt, which is what she wants.
All right. So, again, we're talking a lot of SEC football here on the show today. Trust me, you're going to get your fill of ACC football. I'll kick off next week up in Charlotte at the Westin. We'll be up there for 2 days. So, yeah, I had some fun with some old fraternity, but don't admit, tell me, somewhere deep down in the back of your mind, you're like, I wouldn't mind a weekend trip to Tuscaloosa with Sturge 1 week.
It sounded entertaining. If nothing else, it sounded like I would have been thoroughly entertained.
I missed last year due to the job. We had a the year before us class in the my year's class all had a reunion weekend, and of course, you know, due to my job during football season, I couldn't make it. And
right,
dude, they sent me pictures and video that should have never made it up on Facebook. Hopefully, you know, some people are always tell you when you've had too much to drink, count to 5 before you hit post.
Oh yeah, that's a bad choice.
So all right, so getting back to it, I really think that, like I said, Mississippi State. You've got a huge question with Nick Fitzgerald because the last we remember, he's being carted off there at the end of the Ole Miss-Mississippi State game. So, need to get. So, which one real quickly, Moorhead, Fisher, or Dan Mullen has to get to 9 wins this year, and then we will catch up with our phone calls.
For me, it's easy. The money's too big. Jimbo Fisher has the most pressure on him of any coach in the SEC for the next couple seasons, so I think it's him.
All right. Let's get to Jimmy. He wants to talk Gamecock football. Delvin will be up after that. Jimmy, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Good. How about y'all?
Man, I tell you what, starting to fill in here for dinner at Bada Bing.
All right. So, the Gamecocks football, you know, I've been talking about the skill positions, and I think we're pretty loaded there. But I think out of all the freshmen coming in, the freshman that's going to make the biggest impact for the Gamecocks is going to be Dylan Wanham. Because our offensive line needs some help. His brother's very talented. He was a 4-star. He was highly recruited by Georgia and some other major colleges. And I've heard the kid talk. The kid's made a good, big impression on me. I think he's going to make a major impact on the Gamecocks football team this year out of all the freshmen.
Listen, great phone call there, Jimmy, because here's the deal. You better protect Bentley the best you can. Now, that's what, like I said, I see some things. You know, South Carolina's actually got a couple of choices there at running back. But where I think that they are, you know, granted, Hayden Hurst, you're not going to replace him this year. Just like Clemson found out this past year. You don't replace Jordan Leggett as much as they tried to do some stuff with the tight end position. But Shai Smith, Brian Edwards, Debo Samuel. I mean, there's some playmakers on the edge as well. But as he was just saying, the key is you've got Zach Bailey from Somerville and a couple other offenses. You got to give Bentley time to get rid of the ball.
You do, and we had J.C. Sherbert from the Big Spur on yesterday. He's very high on Jake Bentley. Mm-hmm. Was very protective of him and saying he's kind of been getting a bad rap, that he's got a big game problem, and made some really good points yesterday. Never did get a chance to ask J.C., you know, what's your expectation this year? 10 wins is very realistic for South Carolina. I think you and I are both very high on South Carolina.
But I got him at 9-3.
When we've opened the phone lines a couple times this week, it's been a much more measured from the South Carolina fans that have called in, not looking at 9 or 10 wins as a requirement. Although if you go online and look at some of the message boards, it's 10 or 11
if
wins
you
or bust.
Use message boards is
you've got to go both ways. You've got to talk to people and you've got to look.
That is the wild west of idiocy. Those messages. I can honestly say, having dealt with message boards way back in the day, I have not looked at a message board in like 5 years, period.
I see why. To me, it gives you, well, first of all, in the summer when you're coming up with show topics, sometimes you'll wander through some message boards and find some interesting stuff. But I think that there's a
Diesel put together the show.
Yeah, exactly. Or there's a subset of the fan base, and I think they need to be paid attention to because they're very vocal and they're online and they're sharing their worst.
But they're the ones like our idiot down in Alabama that goes, you know what? They put an Auburn jersey on the Bear Bryant statue, so I'm going to go poison some trees at Toomer's Corner. All right? I'm sorry. I said it and I did it. All right, Delvin. Get Delvin in when it comes to college football. Delvin, hope you're having a good day, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How
doing? I tell you what, we're doing great.
Yeah, you're talking about, I think you said don't discredit Ole Miss. I can't. You can't discredit Ole Miss because they got some talent to come back on the offense. I know they're on probation, but they got some talent to come back on the offense and the quarterback returning. So, even though they lose their pass, they got that dude they played last year. So,
But here's the problem with Ole Miss. They've got depth issues that you're getting ready.
Yeah.
They've had a bunch of guys transfer out, and they're allowed to do that with these NCAA sanctions coming down. So, they are razor thin this year when it comes to depth, and you know, due to their style of play, I think that probably catches up with them. But that being said, Delvin,
yeah,
I thought Matt Luke going 6-6 last year, Ole Miss
is
one of the best coaching jobs I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and as far as the coach goes, I got to be with Childers. If I'm paying you $75 million, I mean paying you 10 years, $75 million, I at least got to get 9 or 10 wins in the first year.
All right. Yeah, I agree 100%. Great phone call there, Delvin, because here's the deal. Kevin Sumlin didn't exactly leave that program in complete and total disarray. Whether Jimbo Fisher liked the black paint and the disco lights in the football office, I don't know. But remember, Kevin Sumlin was an extremely, extremely hot property when he was hired by Texas A&M out of Houston back in the day.
Well, he did a good job, just not a great job. And Texas A&M wants to take that next step. They want to be the top two or three teams in the SEC, and someone could never get them there.
But why? Why is the – because they make over $214 million a year? What is the history of Texas A&M football? They haven't been that guy since, what, 1957, when Jack David Crow or whatever won the Heisman Trophy there. Texas A&M had a couple of decent years when they had a good run under Jackie Sherrill, and guess what? It was one of the best football teams money could buy right then. So why are all of a sudden making the move to the Southeastern Conference? Go back and look through your Southwest Conference history days. You weren't that back then. Why all of a sudden are you supposed to be? I think it's that oil and gas money.
It is. It's money.
Yeah.
And I think you could make it's a dangerous comparison to make, but I think you could compare them to Clemson. The Clemson fan base always wanted that return to glory that they had in the 80s.
The return.
Right.
You got to get there once to return to there. And Texas A&M, quite frankly, since about 57, they hadn't seen that. There was 1 year that they went on a roll in the Southwest Conference and I think beat the snot out of Notre Dame and then turned around the next year and beat Auburn, I believe, with Bo Jackson. That was it. But they weren't national title winners.
No, but they have literally bank trucks full of money backing up to the stadium and just pouring dollar bills and gold bricks on the pavement every week. Just like Texas, just like Ohio State. I feel like Texas, and I'll throw Oklahoma State in there because they've got big money down there too. I think Texas A&M and Oklahoma State, they want to take that next step. They want to get to that 11th win, that 12th win. Let's find a way to get in the playoffs. And to be honest, Sturge, they've got enough money and enough great facilities that they're going to be pumping into that. That should be the expectation at those schools the next few years, whether they've had a great past or not.
So why is it that the two schools that absolutely got more money than anybody coming in by, $25 million, I think it is, are both mediocre in football right now? And that's Texas and Texas A&M. They're not bad, but they're not good. I mean, you did have Texas at one point competing for a national title. Who did they lose to out in the Rose Bowl, Diesel? He ain't saying. All right, so you're looking at me like I just did something.
You're getting a dig in.
So my point being, again,
I don't think they will be for long. Yeah. They're paying their coaches a lot of money. They're upgrading the facilities. They're doing the things that they need to do. Just like we did with the SEC a minute ago. You flash forward 2-3 years. What's your expectation of Jimbo Fisher? Top 10 team, 10 wins a season, maybe gets into a playoff. I think the same thing goes over to with Tom Herman at Texas. I think that you've got to think that those two teams, just because of the money, are going to find a way to get there.
Yeah, see, I'm sorry. I'm in the few here. I know he's one of the few coaches in college football that can look you in the eye and go, hey, man, I got a national title.
Yeah.
All right? But also watch FSU, a team that should never have to schedule a game with Louisiana Monroe and make it up to get 6-6 last year. As you mentioned, yep, he recruited Jameis Winston, but did Jimbo Fisher ride a special college football quarterback to the finish line, and that's what he's worth? Because you know what? It was all downhill in Tallahassee, and I'm sorry. Even though they let their facilities drop just a little bit as compared to some other schools, there is no reason in you name the place that they should be going 6-6 and in the Independence Bowl. That's an absolute – and part of that's on Jimbo Fisher.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
But he has a ring.
He's got a ring.
And he's been to the top of the mountain. Nobody else has got it. He's got a ring.
Yep.
There's four guys that have rings, and he's one of them. And I think that carries a lot. So we're going to know. He gets all the facilities he wants now. He's going to get the assistant coaches he wants. He's going to get to do every single thing he wants to do. He was constantly battling Florida State on that.
Yeah.
We'll know in the next 3 to 5 years if Jimbo Fisher is that guy or not. Well, and I think he is.
Yeah, you know, people would say, well, can't you make the same comment about Dabo Swinney riding Deshaun Watson to, you know, that national title and everything else? I say that question was erased from the dry erase board and the blackboard in getting that team back to the college football playoff last year.
You could argue he did a better coaching job last year and the offensive and defensive coordinators than they did in the three previous years before that. So
right.
I agree.
All right, Robbie G, thanks for getting in. Listen, on Twitter, you can get me at Sturgis Sports, at Childress Mark. He says, really curious to see the new-look offense for USC and see if there's a measurable improvement on both lines. Yeah, well, first of all, the defensive line at South Carolina has gotten a lot better here. So, listen, like I said, take advantage of it right now because, you know, will Florida's heritage rise back up to the top when it comes to recruiting? We don't know. But I'm going to sit here and say, I apologize, Robbie. When Will Muschamp was hired at South Carolina, I snickered. I went, this doesn't end well. Just if you can't win at Florida, how the hell are you going to win? I want to give that man credit in the fact that it's something I also tell my daughter, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Just don't make the same mistake twice. That means you didn't learn from it. Well, guess what? I think Will Muschamp learned from some of the issues he had in his first coaching tenure at Florida. That's why schools like Florida shouldn't go hire unproven head coaches. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We'll come back. We'll give you a shot on that one over here as your wife and daughter over there. I'll see you in 5 minutes as I guarantee you're getting ready to go get a slice of pie over there. It's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live at Bottoming Pizza on Woodruff Road. That's 1860 Woodruff Road. Remember, they will be here all night. And unfortunately, it is Croatia versus France in the World Cup final on Sunday. Final segment when we come back. So, Childress, you know, you've learned a few things about me today.
Yes.
All right. I want to find out something from you and if Diesel's even willing to get in on this one. Are you a mama's boy?
I know. I think I'm kind of right down the middle. I don't consider myself – I love my mom, and she may be listening too. Hi, Mom, if you are. But
which,
I'm probably
by the
right
way,
down the middle.
I, after what I found out she did, I responded to one of her things on Facebook, like, you're my new hero. And she's like, what'd you hear about me, you know, or something. So, Diesel, because some of the things you've knocked on your dad when it comes to his choice of Christmas presents, are you a mama's boy?
I definitely lean a little closer to my mom. What you're making fun of is the fact that my dad is the king of buy one, get one.
But okay,
find and it's something, yeah, that, it's something that I need. It's a great gift, don't get me wrong, but it's always a buy one, get one free.
It's a great story. We bring
He's
it
the
up
king
every
of that.
Christmas. Yeah.
It's happened at least three or four times.
Yeah,
so no shame though, by the way.
Listen,
it's a good dad move.
I am the ultimate mama's boy, all right? First of all, understand the dynamic. I have two older brothers that are 8 years older than me. So they went off to college when I went into fifth grade. Whew, pretty wide gap there. And then, of course, you know the story with my other brother that was 6 years older and how he passed. So, you know, back in the day when my dad would have to travel to Europe or Japan in the 80s, you know, he was gone 3 weeks. So we would literally, on a Friday night, my friends and I at Wade Hampton, Mom would go, okay, I'll take y'all to the Red Lobster up on Wade Hampton into a movie. What are y'all doing tonight? We're going out with Sturge's mom. There was a lot of ways to get picked on back in high school.
Yes.
But you want to talk about the ultimate mama's boy. Did you hear about Harold Varner this past weekend? Finished third at the Greenbrier Classic.
I saw this. This is a great story.
Yeah. Finished third at the Greenbrier Classic this weekend, Diesel. You know, you were trying to get out there on the golf course tomorrow. He was third heading into Sunday. He ended up tied for fifth after shooting a disappointing 2 over 72 in the final round. All it did was earn this guy a nice little check of $247,000, 470. All right?
Nice.
$247,470. Guess what he was doing 12 hours later the next morning?
His chores.
Yep. He was back home at Mama's house cutting the grass. Yeah, I mean, dude, there's a picture of him. He's on Twitter waving it. But I guess he's kind of getting out there, and those guys travel so much. There's no reason if you can, you know, at that age, you know, don't keep an apartment. Just, hey, Mom, I'll crash out and blah, blah, blah. Well, part of his chores at home as a professional golfer was to keep the grass cut. And when asked what he was going to do with the money, he said, quote, I'm going to mow my parents' grass on Monday, so that's what I'm going to do. And he did. He shared the photo
that's
on social
awesome.
Media of cutting his parents. With a quarter of a million in the bank, could you not have hired your daughter over here to cut the grass?
Yeah,
you
figured he'd have kicked it to somebody. I bet he will be soon, for sure.
Or how about this? Did John Deere, the golf tournament this week before we go over to the British Open next, did they miss a chance to plug this guy?
Yes.
And send a new John Deere riding lawnmower so he can make sure that Mama's house is cut? That's I love that. Absolutely love it. So Mama's boys, you know what? You can take the mama out of the boy, but you can't take the boy away.
Yeah.
So I was a bad mama's boy growing up. I'm sure my dad's just beating his head against his desk right now going, son, don't admit that. So
it's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
So, all right. The other thing is, here's the deal. Last week we saw that brawl between Australia and the Philippines when it comes to the qualifying. Did you see the fight in Atlanta? What was it, Monday, in some kind of youth game? These weren't small youth. They were obviously high school kids. But next thing you know, a team from Chicago is physically beating the crap out of the officials at a tournament. What do we do at this point, Mark? You're a parent. You got a gorgeous daughter over here. You've got a son. Do you see – I don't know if you caught Dick Vitale's comments on this, but he went off the rails going, if we don't start prosecuting this stuff like the offense it actually is, we got problems. You know what? Frank Martin, same thing on social media. At what point can these guys make a difference when it comes to this kind of stuff? Because, yeah, we were laughing about the pledge football and all. You heard the story in the 90 game with those guys. Somebody ended up in the hospital. But you knew one person was going to end up. That was kind of part of the mystique of it all.
Of course.
You know? But I'm not trying to make light of that. You know what I mean? This is bad. We got to get this back in control.
And especially the fact that it involves an official, conflicting stories, I guess, coming out about it, Sturge, that the official kind of turned on one of the players and started the whole thing.
First of all, these guys, they're not officials.
No.
Here, take a black and white jersey and grab it.
$20 a game, go out and rep as long as you want.
You can see better at the church league game up here at the Baptist Church is some of the officiating when it comes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think Vital's that far off the mark.
When
are you going to cross the line, or when is there going to be a brawl like this where someone gets really, really hurt?
But you just can't keep saying it's sports. It's
right.
Some point you got to hold these kids and even these adults accountable. So, because again, we were making light of Pac-Man Jones. Guy squared off on him in the airport. Pac-Man won. He didn't get arrested. The other dude got the crap beat out of him and a trip downtown to the jail. All right, this is your last day. Where are we playing golf next week? Now at the beat, not we. Where are you playing golf?
I don't know where I'm playing yet. My dad and I were going to be playing. He's a little
bit
under the weather right now.
No, I'm going to hang out with my beautiful wife and child.
I'll be
There's
hanging
no
out
golf
with them.
Involved.
We'll spend plenty of beach and pool time next week down at Pauly's Island.
All
so
right.
Be good.
Well, listen, we will. I'll catch you up in Charlotte on Wednesday. Thank you for doing that. And, of course, you'll have fun up there. And, Carrie Beth, y'all have a great vacation because next week it's our turn. You know what I mean? So some of us got to be GMAC on this Straight Up with Sturge show.
Yeah,
you know
there we
what
go.
I mean?
GMAC's been using his vacation
days,
man. I got
it, man. I guess when you're the boss, you get an extra week because I ain't got a clue about how many weeks of vacation I have. But, no, we're looking forward to going on that cruise here in a couple of weeks. But, listen, come by and see our friends at Bada Bing. The pizza's legit, is it not? Carrie Beth's giving us the thumbs up. And, of course, we'll be walking out the door. Diesel, there's one thing after lunch today. You can espouse the virtues of Bada Bing real quick.
Oh, yeah. I came in and got the two slice and a drink for $6 deal and just added some pepperoni to it. And my God, it was good.
All right. Well, listen, Diesel, great job tomorrow. We'll be back at Smoke on the Water. It'll be Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal, myself at 4:20. Ryan McGee, another one of our guys from
him.
ESPN, former Travelers Rest Devil Dog in Tennessee volunteer. So we got Ryan McGee at 4:20. Also, we'll get a catch-in on Friday with Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers, ahead of Media Days next week in Wednesday. But great job, Childress. Have
Thanks,
a great
man.
Vacation. Thanks for everything that you do. Diesel, we say you're Sports Talk's most decent producer, but dude, you're the best. Thank you very much. All of you, have a blessed evening. We'll do it at 4 p.m. tomorrow for more Straight Up with Sturge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.